Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Tuesday, September the 1st, 2026. First day of September 2026, less than a week away from Labor Day. How about that? 17 coming up on 18 minutes past the hour, and we are getting awful close to Election Day here in Ohio. I believe just over 60 days at this particular point. And last week, our governor's race got an interesting twist. I mean, we've all seen the ads out there. And I'm going to read this just as it is, because we have a guest joining us this hour who is sort of tangentially involved in the story last week involving this new Vivek Ramaswamy ad. Now, here's the story as we have it. New reporting from the Columbus Dispatch reveals that Vivek Ramaswamy's newest ad features a GOP activist who falsely blames Dr. Acton for isolating her late mother during the pandemic. The Dispatch verified records proving the activist's mother was from Kentucky, belonged to a church in Kentucky, and died July 25, 2020 at a hospice facility in Kentucky, 6 weeks after Dr. Acton stepped down as health director. The activist, Linda Caudill, served as a delegate for Trump in 2016 and in 2024, sparked controversy as a volunteer for former U.S. Rep. Jim Renacci's 2017 campaign for governor, and is pictured in a viral photo of protesters gathered outside the Ohio State House on April 13, 2020, to oppose Governor DeWine's pandemic policies. The Dispatch fact-checks a repeated lie from the Ramaswamy campaign blaming Dr. Acton for pandemic-era decisions. In reality, DeWine, a Republican who appointed Acton to the job in 2019, said he bears full responsibility for his administration's decisions. Caudill is no stranger to Republican politics in Ohio. She served as a delegate, as we said, for President Trump in 2016 and 2024. She also sparked controversy as a volunteer for former U.S. Rep. Jim Renacci's 2017 campaign for governor, in part for sharing a meme that suggested violence against then-Secretary of State John Husted. Caudill can be seen in a viral photo of protesters gathered outside the Ohio State House on April 13, 2020, to oppose DeWine's pandemic policies. The person tangentially involved in this story is a gentleman, former U.S. Representative, as the press release states here, and also Republican candidate for governor in 2022, Jim Renacci. Representative Renacci, how are you?
Good, Scott. How are you?
Good. Good to speak with you. When you hear this explanation of this ad by Vivek Ramaswamy, which mentions you several times, what comes to your mind first?
Well, first off, Linda Caudill is a good person. She's a solid worker. She is an activist. She is. She works very hard for the right flank, I would say, of the Republican Party, which again is part of the Republican Party. And she's a solid person and a good person from that standpoint. Now, again, sometimes people go a little bit over the top. She did while working for me as a volunteer. As we said, we removed her as a volunteer at that point in time. Even after removing her, she still worked very strongly for my campaign to try and help me get elected. That's just the way she is. When I saw the ad and have been, of course, had numerous phone calls about it, I mean, she is depicting a time in 2020 where Amy Acton was the health director who had the authority under the state statute to make decisions. Mike DeWine could have terminated Amy Acton. He didn't, so he has to take full responsibility. By the way, it's Mike DeWine and John Husted. should have taken full responsibility and should have terminated her. They didn't, which meant that now he had the power to terminate. Of course, Lieutenant Governor John Husted did not. But, you know, since they let her make those decisions, of course, Governor DeWine is saying he takes full responsibility for them. But it was definitely a tough time in our state. We had closures. We had, you know, masking of children in school. We had so many things. You know, we had nursing homes and healthcare facilities where you couldn't see your mom. We had funerals where you could barely have the opportunity to see your mom even at that point in time. So it was definitely a tough time in the state of Ohio, and I think that's what the ad's depicting from what I was able to see. Of course, you know, I was out of town last week when this occurred, so I'm just catching up on a lot of it. But I think that's the position that Linda Cadill was trying to take, that Amy Acton had done some serious things to the state of Ohio.
Now, Representative Renacci, obviously this is a video ad, but I want to play the audio. I think it gives the same effect here. It's 30 seconds for people who haven't heard this ad. Here's the ad, Linda Cadill in the ad. Then we'll come back and talk about this. Here's what's running now.
I had to put my mother in a nursing home because she had fallen. A few weeks after that is when Amy Acton shut down the state. My mother didn't understand it. It traumatized her. She didn't know why her family couldn't come visit her. 2 months later, she died. Amy Acton is to blame for this. It happened to a lot of families, and it shouldn't have happened. I will never forgive Amy Acton for what she did to my family. Ohio can't afford liberal Amy Acton.
Now, that's the ad. Now, Representative Renacci, on the whole, would you say that is an accurate ad?
We got to remember, she's saying that Amy Acton shut down the state. And there was a time when the state was shut down. I know my mother was in Pennsylvania, and there was a time where I drove to Pennsylvania, and even under an order where you'd stay at home to see my mom. So I think that's, or at least I believe, after talking to Linda Cadill, that that's what she was trying to express, that her... the state had been shut down, and she was not able to visit her mom in the nursing home.
I just want to take 2 points here that I think the Acton campaign and the Columbus Dispatch are making here. Amy Acton did step down, resigned, as the Ohio Department of Public Health director on June 11th, 2020, and Mrs. Caudill's mother died on July 25th, 2020. So it would have been after... Dr. Acton had resigned. I think that's one of the points that they're upset about.
Sure, but remember, she says that she was not able, that Amy Acton, if, and again, the 30 seconds that you just played, she says Amy Acton shut down the state. She was not able to see her mother. Now, that means her mother, and now the facts are her mother was in Kentucky, and that's what I said. My mother was in Pennsylvania, and Amy Acton did shut down the state of Ohio. I still remember driving to Pennsylvania and not a soul on the road. In fact, I took pictures, no one on the road, because the state was pretty well shut down at that time. I think that's what she's trying to depict before her mother died.
Right, and I think the and that's certainly well taken. The other point, though, here, and I think maybe the more pertinent point that the Dispatch and the Acton campaign are having a problem with is that her mother was in a hospice facility in Edgewood, Kentucky. So none of Dr. Acton's mandates for the state of Ohio would have applied to Kentucky. So keeping her from seeing her mother, I think their contention is, had nothing to do with Dr. Acton because her health orders, approved or not by Governor DeWine, don't apply to the state of Kentucky. So why would this have stopped Mrs. Caudill from visiting her mother?
Well, I think it gets back to the when Dr. Acton shut the state down, you were not supposed to travel. You were not supposed to move from state to state. And as I told you, my mom lived in Pennsylvania, so I had to go through those same issues of trying to get to Pennsylvania during a time when the state was shut down. So I believe that's, and again, I spoke... In all fairness, I spoke to Ms. Cadill to ask her about this, and she was saying this is exactly what she meant when she said, Dr. Acton shut down the state, causing me not to be able to see my mom.
I guess the point here is for somebody who sees this ad, who hasn't talked to Ms. Caudill, and sees the 30 seconds, or hears the 30 seconds, do you think that's what they would take away, what we have discussed here this morning? I think explaining it certainly helps, but do you think that's what they would take away from that ad?
Well, probably not, but that's the problem with all political ads. You know, if you follow my social media, you'll see that I say both sides, Republicans, Democrats, stretch the truth on ads, making the other candidate look bad, because 78% of Americans believe not the reality of what the ad says, but the perception of the ad. So you're right. An ad like this could look a lot different to people if they don't listen to it slowly, if they don't talk to Ms. Cadill and ask her. So absolutely, but both sides do it. It's something we need to change. You know, we talk about election integrity, and we talk about voting. Election integrity really goes back to ads, too. And these type of ads should be factual, truthful, and perceptually accurate. Otherwise, voters do take a perception over the reality and make decisions.
And I certainly understand what you're saying, Representative Renacci. Do you think that somebody who is considered a Republican operative, or however they want to refer to her, certainly somebody who's been involved in Republican politics, should be in an ad like this? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a decision of the candidate. And the candidate makes that decision, and look, it happens all the time. Sometimes candidates make decisions based on their knowledge of the person. Sometimes they make decisions without the knowledge of the person, just because of the story. I'm not sure, but that's probably a question more for the campaign than it is for the average citizen. The campaign actually makes those decisions and picks those people.
What do you remember about the meme that suggested violence against then Secretary of State John Husted in 2017?
Yeah, I don't remember it very well. I do remember that it was graphic in a sense that, I just remember that at the point I was even a little shocked that the meme was out there, and that's why I made a public statement saying that Ms. Cadill was a volunteer. She was not a paid employee. We've removed her from the volunteer staff.
Was that what brought an end to your her relationship with you as a volunteer? That meme?
At that time, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
How would you, as you said, you've spoken to her since this whole thing happened. What kind of person is she? How would you describe her?
Well, she's a very active, loyal Republican. There's no doubt about it. She is very supportive of President Trump, very supportive of Senator Marino, very supportive of Vivek Ramaswamy. She is part of the Ohio Central Committee, which means she's also a acting elected official of the Ohio Republican Party. So she stands with all Republican candidates up and down the slate. And by the way, she is not a passive person when it comes to supporting Republicans. She is out and about, she supports every Republican up and down the ticket. Mm.
You being brought up in this story, how did you feel about being brought up as part of this story?
Well, I get brought up in a lot of stories, so it doesn't bother me. I mean, again, Linda Cadill was always a very good person. She was always a big supporter of mine. And, I get brought up because, yes, she was removed as a volunteer from my campaign. But as I said, even being removed and not associated with the campaign anymore, she was still a strong advocate for me to be elected governor and then Senate afterwards. So that's the type of person she is. She's very pro-Republican and very pro-supportive of candidates up and down the slate. And, you know, I get pulled into things on numerous occasions, whether somebody's worked for me, whether somebody violates the law and they say he used to work for Renee or whatever. It's just, it's part of being an elected public figure.
In your opinion, do you feel that Dr. Acton was responsible in any way for the death of Ms. Caudill's mother, knowing what we know now, and after you have talked to her?
Well, responsible for her death is such. You know, her death is related. I'm not sure what it was related to. It sounds like she was in hospice. It sounds like she was in Kentucky. It sounds like she was an older person who died of COVID-related issues. But at the same time, I think Amy Acton's involvement would only be in her shutting down the state and stopping Linda Caudill from getting to see her mother on occasions, but not directly influenced in the death of her mom.
So responsible for isolation, but not death. At this point, you would
no,
say.
But I think the other thing that this presents is that, remember, there were a lot of moms and dads in nursing facilities, in healthcare facilities throughout the state of Ohio with similar stories where people had to sit outside the window because they weren't allowed in the facility. Their mom and dad didn't understand why they weren't coming. And a lot of these individuals died, not in Ohio, but in other states. Pennsylvania, Virginia. My mother-in-law had the same situation. She passed away in Virginia in a facility that we could not go and see her except through a window. So I think that's what the presentation is really about, how these individuals who, like Dr. Acton, was the director of health and director of health of other states, just basically kept their loved ones away from many elderly people who eventually passed away and never had the opportunity to hold the loved one's hand, to be with the loved one. Those are, I think, the things that should be remembered most about not only Dr. Acton, but the DeWine administration and other states and the administrations as well.
Well, that's what I want to get to here because, as we have said, Dr. Acton, at the time of Ms. Caudill's mother's death on July 25th, 2020, was no longer in her position. She had resigned 6 weeks earlier. So Governor DeWine, at that point, was fully in charge. He was making all the decisions. He did not, at that point, I don't believe he had reversed any decisions. How responsible is Governor DeWine for something like this?
Well, look, I've said all along, done this on social media, the DeWine Husted administration, I mean, even John Husted cannot run from this. You know, the DeWine Husted administration is responsible for, first off, hiring Amy Acton, for all of her actions, and ultimately for all the decisions made. They have to take responsibility. If Lieutenant Governor would have said, I disagree with this, I'm resigning, then he could have walked away and said, I wasn't part of it. But even he has to take some of this because he was part of leadership. He was standing next to Governor DeWine and Amy Acton. So I think and Lieutenant Governor always have to take the responsibility when something like this occurs, especially for somebody that...
Yeah, Mr. Renacci, if you were going to run for an office again today, maybe a statewide office, would you be glad to have Ms. Caudill working on your campaign at this point?
I think the activism of every Republican is important. The ability for her to get people out to vote in her region of the state is important. And I think always having people like her and active Republicans. Now, by the way, the activist Republicans do not win elections, but they certainly support bringing Republicans out to vote. So in any election, I think everybody would want to have every activist and every Republican who's going to drive Republican voters out to vote. And, of course, she's one of those people.
So you would not mind having her work on your campaign again if you were going to run for something?
Well, I would not mind. What I said was I would love to have always have her support in the sense of bringing the activist vote in her region out, yes.
Okay. I want to talk to you about the governor's race because we're just over 60 days away here. And by all accounts, if you look at the polls, it's still tied up, Dr. Acton and Vivek Ramaswamy. Why is that? And in 60 days, who do you think is going to take this election?
Well, look, a lot of things going on, so it's hard to just say it's one thing or the other. We definitely have a Republican headwind. I should say a Democrat headwind for Republicans. It's somewhere between 8 and 10 points in the state of Ohio. That's an issue for all Republicans. When it comes to Vivek, I think he's got a lot of good ideas and a lot of good plans. The problem is he was endorsed by President Trump, and I think there are a lot of anti-Trump Republicans even out there who will not support him for those reasons. But I think in the end he's going to win because I do believe the actions that Dr. Acton took during COVID and her leadership during that time will be enough to shift independence away from her and toward Vivek Ramaswamy, which is, I think, one of the reasons I believe that Vivek Ramaswamy will win.
You had said then Lieutenant Governor Husted was responsible somewhat for what went on during the DeWine administration during COVID. He, of course, is the senator now here in Ohio running against Sherrod Brown. How do you see that one going?
Well, now that's the reverse of what I just said about Vivek Ramaswamy. I mean, I think Senator Husted has the Dr. Acton attached to him. So there are independents that are going to lean away from him. There are Republicans that aren't going to vote for him, which is going to make it very difficult for him to win, all because of the actions of the DeWine Husted, Amy Acton leadership role that occurred in the 2000s with shutting down buildings, businesses, elections. I think he can't get out of that. He can't get away from that. And that's going to be a problem for him. So there are going to be, I say this all the time, independents will make the decision in November. There are going to be independents who vote for Vivek Ramaswamy and Sherrod Brown. And that's going to be the deciding factor as to how many get out, how many vote, how many Republicans go out and vote. Do I think John Husted could win? Absolutely. But do I think the headwinds are against him? Do I think his role as lieutenant governor over Dr. Acton is going to be a problem for him? And I think he's got to get the voters out who are anti-Brown, which is always going to be interesting. It just comes down to Republicans will vote for Republicans, although they may not turn out. So vote for Democrats. The independents, which make up about 65% of our voters, are going to make the decision.
So at this point, would you say both of those races are anybody's game to lose or to win at this point?
Well, the polling shows that, and look, in all fairness, I'm part of a 501c4, which we do polling on a constant basis. What the trending is that the Vivek Ramaswamy race is starting to open up a little bit in his favor. The Sherrod Brown race is starting to open up in John Husted a little bit in Sherrod Brown's favor. So anything could happen, anything could change, but the trend is starting in a direction which is favorable for Vivek Ramaswamy and not favorable for Senator Husted. That doesn't mean the trend can't change today. Still 60 days left, a lot of time.
A lot of time. I wanted to bring up something to you in regard to President Trump, which has certainly been a big issue here in Ohio. Now, as everybody knows at this point, President Trump endorsed Vivek Ramaswamy very early in this campaign and then made a comment recently. Here's the comment from President Trump. This was Monday, actually. This would have been yesterday. President Trump on Monday lashed out at communities that are protesting data centers, suggesting that residents who do not go along with the artificial intelligence revolution must prefer to be, and these are his words, backwards and poor. Quote again, the only reason that communities throughout the USA should not want data centers is if they want to end up being backwards and poor, Mr. Trump posted on his Truth Social site. If they want to be successful and rich with far lower taxes and jobs all over the place, let data reign. That from our president yesterday. What do you make of that, Senator or Representative Renacci?
Well, look, I think he's right. I think data centers have to be built. I don't think they should all be built in one state. I don't think they should all build in two states. I think they need to be spread out. They need to be built in a way that are positive to communities, that enhance communities, that do not cost communities more money in taxation or in electric rates or water rates. That's the only downside that I see it, nobody's answered for me. You can put a data center in a community. The data center can pay for their own construction, can pay for their own utilities, can pay for their own water. The question is, when all that electricity and all that water is needed for that data center and it raises the cost of that electricity or that water to the residents, who's going to pay that? That's the question that I need answered. But otherwise, I do think data centers are important. I think they will always be important as a product of our country. You know, steel mills were important at one point in time. Data centers will be important now as well.
Why has it seemed with this election, especially the governor's race, because these two will be in Ohio, whoever wins the election, that you have to say something about data centers? I believe at one point Vivek said surrounding communities or communities within a certain proximity to a data center would have their electricity bill paid for by the data center. It seems like they are not popular with the voters, so much so that both candidates have had to speak about them and give some sort of stance.
Well, I think people, again, the perception over the reality is that data centers are a problem. So once the perception's there, you use the perception to your benefit to win elections. So let's face it, Democrats now, just like Republicans in the past, have used transgender issues as a perception to win elections. Democrats are now using data centers as a perceptional idea to win elections this year. It is the one thing that has risen to the top when it comes to a perception, a reason to vote against somebody. So I think that's the reason they become important. Ohio does have a lot of growth in data centers, and I think that is going to be an issue for Ohioans. I mean, again, I just asked a question that I haven't been answered yet, which is, you know, if the cost of electricity and water gets driven up by these data centers, they're paying their own way, and they're paying their own share, and they're paying to build their own site, well, then all of a sudden, my cost as a consumer goes up as well. And I think that's the question that has to be asked. So, I see myself as an intelligent voter, and I still don't have that answer.
A few more quick questions here, Representative Renacci. How do you feel President Trump is doing these days? The approval polls don't seem to be going in his way. How do you feel about this second term?
Well, look, I love what President Trump was doing the first term. I have a lot of issues with his second term. He said we weren't going to be in overseas wars. We are. He said he was going to get costs down. We're not. Get gas prices down. We're not. And I think Republicans, and I've said this publicly, I think Republicans have to make sure, excuse me, that they're talking to the average voter. The average voter is seeing bills, bill, utility bill, their grocery bills, they're seeing their gas bill, all up to a point where they can barely make ends meet. And I think President Trump has neglected them from that standpoint. Now, let's face it, on illegal immigration, he's done great things. When I say done great things, he's closed the border. he's had some issues there, too. So I think in the end, the average voter is looking at President Trump and saying, wait a minute, my life better. And most of them are saying no, because I can't afford my bills. I can't afford to pay for gas. I can't afford grocery bills. My rent's gone up. My utility bill is going up. And that is why President Trump's approval rating has dropped so low, which has caused the Republican headwind this cycle. There's no doubt that, I told you earlier, that Republicans have an 8 to 10 point headwind. It's not because of what they're doing, it's because of what President Trump has done.
So essentially, at this point, what you're saying is some of these Republicans could lose, such as Vivek Ramaswamy or John Husted, just because people are not in favor of what President Trump is doing. Is that correct?
Well, I think they're not in favor and they're not going to show up to vote. I don't think Republicans, there are Republicans who I've talked to who are going to vote for Democrats. There's also Republicans that I've talked to who are not going to vote. Those are serious problems for Republican candidates. Very similar to 2018, which is when I ran last time, but also very similar when I ran for Senate, but also very similar to 2006, which a lot of people are saying this could be as bad as 2006, because at that time, George Bush Sr. had caused a Republicans to have a headwind as well, significant enough that most Ohioans remember that all Republicans lost statewide except for Mary Taylor, who retained her treasurer seat. Everybody else lost in 2006.
Mm. I want to ask you about Issue 3 quickly here. Issue 3 coming up this fall would make voter ID part of the Ohio Constitution. It's not part of the Constitution right now, but it is law in Ohio. You do have to present valid ID when you vote. At this point, the strange thing is there was just a rally in Columbus, I believe. I believe it was Columbus this past weekend. Vivek Ramaswamy was there. He's for it. Robert Sprague, the Secretary of State candidate, is for it. Other Republicans are for it. Amy Acton is also for it, opposing a lot of the other Democrats on the ticket who are not for this particular issue. Why do you think Amy Acton is for this when all the other Democrats seem not to be?
Well, it's an easy thing to be for. I mean, you got to have a photo ID for everything from buying airline ticket to, you know, going in a lot of places. IDs are important. I think that's why Amy Acton, Dr. Acton, is supportive of it, and she should be. Now, the question is, should we have it in the Constitution? Well, it is something that should be a constitutional item, but the problem is we've loaded up the Constitution in Ohio with so many things like gambling and recreational drugs and all the other issues, that now it seems that instead of it just being allowed to be law, we're constitutionalizing it. That's probably the only issue that I think people against it could run on, that, hey, wait a minute, do we really need this in the Constitution, because it's already part of the law?
Well, do you support Issue 3?
I support it because it's the law. I question it, though, as to how much more we have to hang on the constitutional Christmas tree.
And one final question here, because this governor's election is rare in that neither one of these candidates are incumbents, and neither one of them have been elected to any office at this particular point, and one of them is a woman. We've never had an elected governor be a woman, female, in Ohio. We have never had a non-white governor in Ohio. How much is that going to play in? You and I have talked in the past about Vivek Ramaswamy's race and religion, Hindu religion. Is this going to matter in rural counties that Republicans have to win?
Well, remember, neither of them are Christian either, so neither of them are Christian candidates. So they both have flaws. When I say flaws, voting flaws, which means voters will make decisions. I've talked to voters who are Christians that says, I can't vote for Vivek Ramaswamy, and then I'll say, well, you know, Dr. Acton's not Christian either, and they'll say, well, but at least she believes in God. So that tells me that's going to be an issue. Female versus male, always going to be an issue in a state. That's going to be an issue. I think these are all what I would call voter flaws. When I say voter flaws, that's not vote flaws in a candidacy. It's flaws in the way voters look at them. So absolutely it'll make a difference. Do I think the southern part of Ohio is going to vote for a non-Christian? I don't know. That'll be a good question. Do they turn out to vote? Maybe not. If they turn out to vote, are they going to hold their nose? Are they going to step up? Nobody knows that except them. But I do think these voter flaws, which I call them, will cause, and that's why the race is so close. I think that's the only reason the race is close between Vivek Ramaswamy and Dr. Acton, is the voter flaws in both candidates are going to dictate who shows up to vote and who votes for who.
You know, Representative Renacci, one additional question here. Somebody said to me recently, how did we end up with these two candidates? We have a non-white candidate, which would be a first in Ohio for governor, who is of the Hindu religion. We have Dr. Acton, who has never been elected to a political office, would be the first female elected governor. How did we end up with this? Because a lot of people in both parties are saying, had we had a Christian white male, which is typically what we have had run, they would probably win this race hands down. It's a horrible thing to say for a lot of people, but they say it.
It is a sad thing, but you're probably true. It's probably a true statement in the sense that that's the problem with voters and what I call voter flaws. Many of them will look at the flaw that they don't like in a candidate, them not being Christian, them not being white, them not being male, all those things, and they'll make their decisions. Why we have these two candidates? Well, these two candidates still might have been the candidates, but I don't think we ever really have strong primary elections, and that's the real reason. Democrats don't have a strong bench to run, so they put up Amy Acton's. Republicans do have a strong bench, but what they do is they pick, that the party picks their candidate versus the people picking their candidate. So in the end, you know, on the Republican side, the party pretty much picked their candidate, removed the Attorney General by basically saying, no, we put Vivek ahead of you, Dave Yost. And on the Democrat side, they really just don't have a bench. And I think in the end, those are the reasons why we have the two candidates we have. But we still might have had those two candidates, even if there was a solid primary. Yet primaries make for good general election candidates, and we're missing that part of our election process.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting. But just to be clear, at this point, your polling is showing things trending for Ramaswamy and things trending for Sherrod Brown. But we do have a long way to go.
Yes, but I think that so is the national. So our internal polling is showing a lot of what the national polling is showing, too.
All right, former Representative Jim Renacci. Thank you, Representative Renacci. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, there you go. A lot of information coming your way about that ad involving Mrs. Caudill and the governor's race. All right, we've got about 5 minutes left here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say, feel free to give me a buzz. Now, Jim Ganahl, as you know, was a guest on this program several times, and it was brought to my attention this morning that he used to say that if you count the foggy mornings in August, it's a predictor of the number of measurable snow events we will have in the winter. Now, the person who sent that to me this morning said they counted 7 in August. Does anybody know how many foggy mornings we had in August? Was it 7? And that will predict the number of snow events we will have throughout the winter. Was anybody doing the old Jim Ganahl method? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz here. We've got 3 to 4 minutes left in the program today. Or if you'd like to comment on anything else, if you'd like to comment on the Jim Renacci interview there, Always enjoy talking to former Representative Renacci and getting his thoughts, especially on this particular ad, because he was mentioned in the dispatch and Dr. Acton's explanation as having a professional relationship with Linda Caudill, who is part of this ad in regard to her mother dying during COVID, and did this involve Dr. Acton? Dr. Acton's people say no. The Columbus Dispatch presented the facts, and we just heard from Representative Renacci. 57 minutes past the hour here. Again, does anybody have anything to say? You've got a few minutes left before the show is over here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We would love to hear from you today. It's always interesting to see and hear what is on the listener's mind. That ad is very interesting, to say the least, and it sounds like it's going to rain outside. I can hear the rain coming. I think I just heard the thunder coming in our final 2 minutes. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, if you haven't heard it yet, I am going to play that ad for you again. 30 seconds. Here it is. This is the ad causing all the furor at this particular point. It's a Vivek Ramaswamy ad against Amy Acton in the gubernatorial race.
I had to put my mother in a nursing home because she had fallen. A few weeks after that is when Amy Acton shut down the state. My mother didn't understand it. It traumatized her. She didn't know why her family couldn't come visit her. 2 months later, she died. Amy Acton is to blame for this. It happened to a lot of families, and it shouldn't have happened. I will never forgive Amy Acton for what she did to my family. Ohio can't afford liberal Amy Acton.
It's an interesting ad when you listen to it after getting the background there from Representative Renacci. I'll tell you what, truth in advertising in these political ads is really something I think maybe we should look at as we go on down the road. Well, we're down to our final 30 seconds. I thank everybody who tuned in today, and I certainly thank former Representative Jim Renacci for joining the program. I think he gave an interesting perspective there, and we also got some polling information that, according to his polls, and I guess also the national polls, Vivek Ramaswamy is trending at this point, as is former Senator Sherrod Brown. So there you go. That's why you got to listen to this program. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to The Talking Place. The legendary star of The Facts of Life, Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah. Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?
I'm not.